We continue this month's audio with our cover story, a light-hearted look at the various dramas building in the British royal family. Rich and privileged they may be, but, as our reporter reveals, all is not well in the House of Windsor. The Queen is not going to live forever.
At the age of 94, Elizabeth II has been Queen for 68 years, longer than any other British monarch and longer than any female head of state in world history. Indeed, few of her citizens can remember a time before she was Queen. But what does she actually do, you may ask? The answer is, as little as possible, which she does brilliantly. Don't get me wrong, she is a very busy woman. She constantly travels the nation, meeting her citizens and doing boring things like opening a new medical centre in some obscure town. She entertains foreign heads of state. Her signature is required on every new law, and her face is on the money and the stamps. She ceremonially appoints the new British Prime Minister and opens Parliament each year. She is even head of the English National Church, the Church of England. But unlike the President of a Republic, her power is almost entirely ceremonial and symbolic. She makes no decisions and is above politics. As such, the monarchy is a strange, almost mystical thing. It permeates invisibly throughout society and holds the country together, a little like the Force in Star Wars. Sadly, unlike Star Wars' diminutive Jedi Master Yoda, Elizabeth II won't live until she is 800. When she goes, the monarchy will hit a crisis. Some of the countries over which she presides, including Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, will probably choose to become republics. Even Britain itself could break up into independent nations, putting the monarchy into question there as well. So, is there anyone who can replace her? Yes, but the problem with a monarchy is that nobody gets to choose who comes next. Nobody likes her son, Prince Charles.
Elizabeth's successor is her 71-year-old son, Charles. This is not a good name for a king, because the English did the whole let's cut the king's head off and have a republic thing about 150 years before France did, and that king was called Charles. So it's bad juju. The resulting English Republic only lasted 11 years before the English changed their minds and asked Charles' son if he wanted his dad's old job. He was probably nervous about this offer, but agreed to become Charles II. In the 360 years since, the name has been avoided. Until now. Of course, we will not automatically cut Charles III's head off, but he is, frankly, not popular. He's always seemed a little strange, and he speaks his mind, criticizing modern architecture, advocating organic farming, opposing the Channel Tunnel, and much more. All of this is dangerous because the king or queen of a constitutional monarchy must unite people, not take sides. Elizabeth II never expresses an opinion about anything because she knows that opinions cause trouble. Take the internet, for example. People lose all control simply because they disagree about, say, Kanye West's latest video. Imagine the impact if a British monarch said they felt West had peaked with Stronger. The internet would go absolutely mad, and President Donald Trump would probably threaten to invade the country. The fact is that King Charles III is not a good prospect. In fact, some people think it'd be best if he chose to retire. Before he starts his job, that is. Prince William is looking sad.
Prince William, 37, is next in line to the throne after his father, Prince Charles. But the prospect certainly doesn't seem to make him happy. In fact, he looks more and more depressed these days. As a young man, William was very popular with the British public. Physically, he reminded people of his mother, Princess Diana, who died in a car crash in Paris when William was just 15. Diana was by far the most popular and photogenic member of the royal family, her face constantly on magazine covers all around the world. When she died, the public felt extremely protective of William and his younger brother, Harry. Of the brothers, it was William who had Diana's fine features, the same blonde hair, and people sensed a similar emotional sensitivity. That sense of connection with the British public has been gradually lost over the years. Some years ago, William began losing his hair, and he now inevitably reminds people more of his father, Charles. At this point, almost every British man his age would choose to shave their head, but not William. This makes him seem old-fashioned and out of touch with his own generation. The impression he gives is of a man being suffocated by the restrictions that his position places on him. Like his father and grandmother, he must spend his days playing a ceremonial role, opening public swimming pools and giving speeches to regional industrial confederations. Before him, he has years of smiling at strangers and never voicing his opinions. Who would choose that life? At the age of 35, shortly before the car accident that killed her, William's mother broke away from the royal family. His brother Harry, now also 35, has just done the same thing. William, destined by birth to be king, remains in place, but looking and sounding like a prisoner of his responsibility. And Prince Harry has left for the USA.
Harry is only sixth in line to the throne after his brother William's children, but he is the rock star of the family. Once a wild child who wore a Nazi uniform to a fancy dress party and who played naked billiards in Las Vegas hotel rooms, Harry has matured into a sensitive, charming young man with a famously attractive wife, the American actress Meghan Markle. Meghan does yoga and used to have her own blog and Instagram. He talks movingly about his mental health problems. This makes them exactly what the royal family needs if it is to stay relevant in the 21st century. Unfortunately, they have just lost them. Harry and Meghan have literally resigned as royals and gone to live in Los Angeles, USA, with their new baby. We don't know what happened, but there are two schools of thought. One is that the royals, along with the notoriously vicious tabloid press, are racist snobs who couldn't adapt to the arrival of an independent, mixed-race American woman. The other is that Meghan was difficult, couldn't adapt to royal protocol, and wants to use her new status as a way of making tons of money. We suspect there is some element of truth in both, but either way, it leaves the family with a major problem. While the official royals will continue to rule the land, there is a good possibility that the sexy young, unofficial royal couple of Harry and Meghan, with their modern attitudes and Hollywood glamour, will rule another domain, the internet and social media. In the 21st century, which of those is ultimately the more powerful?